As we've been preaching through the Gospel Road this year, each Sunday morning I've been here, I've had the privilege of asking someone to come and share very briefly about an occasion when they have had a chance to talk to someone about the Lord. And is that still okay, Anne? That was...
No, I was secretly hoping...
You'd forgotten.
No,
come on.
I
It isn't the easiest thing to do, but it's a lovely thing to do, to share what God is doing in our lives and to help us, and to help us all to understand that it's not particularly difficult or complex. I think you had a captive audience for this one, didn't you?
I did.
So tell us what happened.
Tom, as you remember, a few weeks ago, Tom got up and we were told to pray. And... for a time that we could share the gospel with someone, and Tom had that opportunity to do so, and that was brilliant. And a couple of weeks ago on the Monday, I thought to myself, well, I shall do the same. So I prayed for an opportunity to preach or to expand on the gospel to somebody. And Monday came and Monday went, and I didn't get that opportunity, and I thought, oh, well, there you go. Because we always think of things happening in the time that we expect rather than God's timing. And on the Tuesday, I was a passenger, my daughter, who has known the gospel since she was little, but has taken a walk away from it. We were discussing the problems of the world and social problems. And she said, Mum, we must live in the moment. And I said, yes, you're right, live in the moment, but with eternity in mind. And she said, no, Mum, we live for today. So I said, yes, we live for today, but we live in the moment with eternity in mind. I said, we're not just accidents. We haven't come from apes. You know, there's missing DNA. The world hasn't just appeared. She said, well, no, Mum, I know we haven't come from apes. So I said, well, you know, you've been created, and you've been created to have a relationship with your maker, with God. And, you know, you will then find peace with God. I said, because, you know, we're all going to die at some point. And when you die, if you haven't got that relationship with God, then you're going to be separated from God. And, you know, to be separated from God is to go where many that we wouldn't want to be with will be separated from God. And, you know, it isn't a joke. You know, this is serious business. And she went very, very quiet. And I almost repeated myself. And she didn't say a word. She just listened. And she couldn't throw me out the car. We just got over the Yorwell Bridge. And you know, she couldn't do anything really but listen. So I ended up saying, well, just think about it. Just think about it. Because, you know, there's times it's very hard with family because they know the real you. They've lived with you day in, day out. And it's really difficult. And every time they've come over, you know, religions come up at some point sometimes, and it's been more of a banter and lighthearted, but it really is a serious business, you know, when you make a decision to follow the Lord. You know where you're going when you die.
Anne, thank you. No, don't run off just yet. We're going to pray. Remind us of your daughter's name.
Jennifer,
forgive me for forgetting. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of being involved in your work, of doing the works of Jesus after him, of conveying this gospel message. Thank you for the answer to prayer. Thank you for Jennifer's quiet willingness to listen. We pray that she's not been offended by anything except the offense of the gospel, the challenge of the message. We pray that the words that were spoken will rest on her mind, that she will think of them frequently. And we add our prayers to Anne's and to Steve's, that you would call her to be your own, or call her back to yourself if indeed she's wandered from you. Lord, use Anne in other ways. Make her bold to pray more prayers and use her for your glory, and bless her and Jennifer. And we dare to hope, our Father, that in the next few months we might be here on a Sunday worshipping with Jennifer, perhaps even sharing on the day of her baptism. We ask this for nothing else than your glory, our Father, and that Jesus Christ would be praised. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anne, thank you. And I'm going to write Jennifer's name down because I'm pretty lousy with names. And I encourage you also to keep Anne and Jennifer in your prayers. Well, as I say, it's a privilege to walk the gospel road together. This is what we're about. And this is what our Bible studies are about this year. We started back at the beginning of the year in Luke chapter 10. And we had that lovely picture of the harvest fields. And if you haven't picked up one of our bookmarks yet, there's a lovely picture of harvest fields there, just waiting to be gathered in. And that's the picture for the year. Friends, out there, outside these walls, there's lots of folk, sometimes inside these walls, there's folk who want to know the Lord Jesus. They need the Lord Jesus. And we need to take the message of him to them. And that's our challenge this year. And I hope if you're here as a guest or a visitor, as you listen to the challenge to us, God's people, you will hear the message that we are to take out to them. And we're studying through Luke's gospel. And so we're in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 38. And we read God's word because we believe it to be inspired. That means it's not like any other book. It wasn't just written by a human hand, but it has special power, if you like, special measure, because God himself has written this word for us that we might understand about the Lord Jesus and about the gospel road. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through to 41, and we're at the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." It actually says, "Therefore, so. Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." And this little episode today gives us a clear warning about the challenges we will face and the things that snare us and keep us from walking the gospel road faithfully and being our most effective, serving the Lord Jesus completely and fully. And indeed, as well as that warning of the snare, there is also a clear commendation of what is right, an encouragement that this is how we should be. This is the best and proper way to live, the things we should hope for. And as a preacher, the shorter passages and the plainer passages are often the harder to preach because there's nowhere to hide. And that really is exactly the truth of this passage. There's nowhere to hide today. Luke, indeed, as he's put this together for us, has stripped the story bare of extraneous details to highlight the main point so that we cannot escape from it. And it is this: don't be distracted from the gospel. That's the point that is here in the text. Don't be distracted from the gospel. It picks up a number of themes that we've had. Those of you who've been here and we've studied in chapter 9, you saw those disciples. They suddenly realized who Jesus was, the Messiah, the Son of God, with that lovely message. And they try and do it their way. And all sorts of distractions come in and they get it wrong. And the whole of chapter 9 is like them going wrong and Jesus saying, "Not like that, not like that, not like that. Do it like this." So it picks up on that. But we've had chapter 10 where they start to get it right and they go out and they know such joy as they go out and they do it right. And they take that gospel message, the simple message of peace with God. Let's remind ourselves of that gospel message. The world's in a mess. Let's start there. We only have to look outside the door, read a newspaper. We know the world's in a mess. But friends, it didn't start out like that. The Bible starts at the very beginning and it says this world was created by God and he made it good. Indeed, he made it very good. But he gave us the will to choose. And our first forefather, Adam, and each of us since, has chosen to go our own way, not God's way. In fact, we've effectively turned away from God, shaken a fist in his face and said, stuff off, no thank you, I'm going my way, not your way. We have broken the relationship with God. And the Bible calls that sin. We have lost our peace with God. We've made war with God, if you wish. We've become enemies of God. And the gospel message that Jesus Christ came to earth to bring, we've just had Christmas. We say peace on earth, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ came to bring peace. He is the emissary of peace between God and us. He comes to rebuild the relationship. And so the message that we take out as we go, the message that people need to hear if they're not yet one of the Lord Jesus servants, is God would be at peace with you. He would have that relationship with you again that is broken. And we read in chapter 10 this wonderful truth. If you will accept that peace, the text says, if there is a son of peace in this place as the disciples arrive, then you can feel the peace grow between you. It's a real thing. And friends, that can be your knowledge today. If you will say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I have gone my own way. I want now to respond to you. I want to turn away from all the things I've done, all that sin, all that going my own way. I want again to be in tune with you, to serve you, Jesus, to be one of your people, to long for heaven, to have the hope of heaven. I want this, not my way. I would have peace with you again, God. Then you can know that peace and you'll feel it. And you will know a change in your life. And it will be such a blessing. There will be great joy and rejoicing in heaven over just one who repents. Is that you this morning needing to hear that message and to repent? Come and speak with me after the service or another believer. We would love to help you. This is the message we convey, friends. Let's take that message. Let's not forget it's that message we take. It's that message of peace that we focus on. Even as we hear the hard things of this text, that we will be distracted from taking that message. We'll be called away. Not this week, not like last week. Last week, the parable was the Good Samaritan. It was a simple black and white choice. Are you going to do good or not? All right, you're walking down a road. There's nothing else to do except look at the nearly dead man by the side of the road. You have a choice. You either do good or you don't. Right? That was a simple black and white choice. Sadly, two failed. But the Samaritan... Oh, what an example of complete compassion he shows to the one in need as he took the message of peace to him. This week it's harder. Mary and Martha are faced with choices, not a black and white yes, no. They're faced with a number of good things they could do. It's not wrong to feed guests when they come to your house. Especially if it's me. No, sorry. It's not wrong to feed people when they come to your house, to look after them, to make sure they have everything they need. It's not wrong as you pass someone on the street in need to reach out and help them. It's not wrong. But there's a time when it might be the wrong choice. And that's what we're shown in this passage. There are 2 points to what I have to say, and one significant aside, which I think it's helpful for us to note at this time. So we begin with the snare. The painful truth of this text is that Martha was pulled away from what is best by something that is good. And in truth, as you read it in the original, you discover that she becomes overburdened by her choice of work to the point of illness via stress. That's really there in the original. She really does get herself in a complete pickle. If you imagine someone having a panic attack where they're coming to the point of not actually being able to do what they've set themselves to do, that's the implication of where Martha is at when it says she was distracted, and then the Lord says you're worried and upset. That's how far it's gone. She's got herself to that difficult place. And the contrast is made very clearly between the work, Martha's work, which Luke tells us is all the preparations. She's got a lot on her plate. There's a lot she wants to do. And the Lord's few things, or one thing as it is in our text here. There's a footnote which shows us that there's a couple of options in the reading there, but the contrast is between the many and the all that Martha has seen fit to take on to do, and the Lord Jesus saying the few or the one that really only needs doing. All the guests needed that evening was just a little to sustain them. Martha, it seems, is intent on setting before them a banquet of many courses. And in so doing, she's missed the point of the evening. It's not wrong to want to lay a banquet before people on occasion, but on this occasion, she's missed the point of the evening. Martha's question, you see, is not really a question, is it? I think we've all been in this situation before, especially those of us who've got children. We've seen this happen. Martha is loading up this question. She's really expecting a yes, just as any child who turns up before mum and dad, expecting mum and dad to insist that their brother or sister helps them lay the table, clear the dishes, whatever it may be. It's exact. And I think Martha's actually trying to shame Mary as well. You know, Mary sat right at the Lord's feet. There's almost no way that she can't hear what Martha says. It's normal speaking she's doing. It's not whispering in the Lord's ear. She's really loading this up. And yet Jesus doesn't give her the yes that she wants. It's a tragic truth, isn't it? Time and time again in our lives, we have some blind spot or other where this sort of thing can come in. We think we're okay. We think we're so right. We think we know what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we even push it like Martha does in public. For one, these days it won't be hospitality. It might be our job. For another, it might be the family, young people, the pressures you face at school to be popular or to conform to a particular dress code, point of view, etc., may well become a driving force like this in your life. For men of a certain age, to be able to keep up with their sons or the younger guys in church or the office results in them strapping on a bike and far too much lycra, and desperately trying to keep fit. If you've seen me, I'm sorry. But these things can become a distraction to what we should be focused on. In all sorts of areas and walks of life. Sometimes it can just be as simple as wanting not to be out of touch. So we watch every episode of the latest box set, soap opera, or so-called talent show. Friends, beware the snares that would pull you from the best thing in life. One commentator has genteelly said, it is better to be a listening disciple than an immaculate host. I trust you will not be offended if I spell it out in plainer language that I think is ever so slightly appropriate to today. Nothing should trump your gospel service. Nothing should trump your gospel service. I would suggest, therefore, that the items that sit highest on our priority list are our quiet time, when we individually sit at the Lord's feet, as Mary did, and we open God's word, and we read the word. Now, this is true for you if you're still searching for the Lord Jesus, or if you've known him for many, many years. If you would know Jesus better today, and tomorrow and every day, start your day with a simple prayer. Holy Spirit, show me the Lord Jesus in the Word. and read the Bible. If you haven't got a Bible, please take one away with you today. I would love for our Bibles to disappear into the hands of people who don't have them. If you want a different Bible or an audio Bible, please come and speak to me. And if you've never read the Bible before, you might like to start John's Gospel or Mark's Gospel, one of those accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ, and simply read about him. Come and ask us any questions you have. Friends, if you've been a faithful servant of the Lord all these years, daily spend time in his word. Read. Know him better. The same is true in family prayers. If you are blessed with a family, let's spend time together, husbands and wives, parents and children. And indeed, as we are together as a church like this, we commit to come together and study God's word together on a Sunday, in home groups and in other ways. Make these things the priority in your life, that you will know the Lord and not be distracted from him, that you will know the best thing. Each culture and age pulls us in different ways. We're a very mobile culture these days, and it's very easy to slip from the wonder it is to go and visit the family and to go to church with them. You know, I'm touched and encouraged when somebody comes back from taking a child to university and saying, we had such a great time on Sunday. Or as David and Diane have done today, they're not with us to celebrate their 48th wedding anniversary. Don't let them forget it. Praise God for that. But they've gone with the family and they're worshipping somewhere else. That's great. But make sure you don't slip over the edge into not having a home church where you're well known and you know well the other people. That truly is a blessing to help you know the Lord Jesus. So the snare can be a very difficult one to avoid. But let us now, as our aside, just briefly note the Lord's rebuke. The Lord's rebuke. I think it's vital as we see him here challenged to take sides. We notice, don't we, that he doesn't. In fact, that's a way of life for him. He doesn't take sides. Here in chapter 12, you'll see it again in John 8 when he's faced with the woman caught in adultery as well. The Lord asks a question rather than immediately siding with one party or the other. And he directs his energy to the problem, not against the person. So he asks a question. He indeed rebukes Martha here, but notice the focus is not on Martha herself, but on the problem that she has. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset. The Lord Jesus bypasses the unhelpful ground of the battle between the sisters and drives at Martha's deeper needs. Well, that's not to say that Mary doesn't have issues. It's not to say Mary's perfect. It's not to say that Martha isn't good in other ways. They're just dealing with the moment, the issue that's there at this time, the problem that's just presented itself. And in that, the Lord shows us, I think, how we can help one another and be with one another and be there for one another, if we can learn also not to take sides. So there are lessons here, but it is an aside, and we need to set that aside. And perhaps if someone wishes to take it up, we can discuss it over coffee. So we've heard the danger of the snare that would ensnare us all. Here now, for the last few minutes, let us reflect on Mary's choice and hear the commendation of the Lord Jesus Christ for the one who chooses the best things in life. Because I really would end on a positive note. As the Lord does here, as Luke does, recording the Lord's action in this time, Mary has chosen what is better. Friends, can I encourage you to make the right choice? Because it's better to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his friend, to be at peace with God is better by far than anything else. This simple phrase is so powerful. It is better to be at the Lord's feet, under sound doctrine, with his people, doing his work, listening to him, in his service, walking the gospel road, than absolutely anywhere else you can imagine or anything else you can hope to be or do. Imagine for a moment your dream holiday. Is it a month in the sun? Studio tour of Hollywood? Bagging another Munro in Scotland? Backpacking in the Himalayas? Exploring the great architecture of Europe or the history of the Middle East? What would you most like to do? I can guarantee you something better. Because it is better to walk the gospel road with the Lord Jesus. You will know more joy, more contentment, more happiness, and a more fulfilled life if you follow him where he would have you go. Be fully committed to him as Mary is here. It is the better path. That's not to say you should never take the chance of those things if they come along. Praise God if he gives them to you. But what about a week of beach mission instead of a week on the beach? What about 3 months of short-term mission experience project instead of 3 months trekking through the deserts and the jungles? You can know great joy and wonder and come away having achieved something. Friends, when you look back on life, you will have grown more and been blessed more if you choose what is better, if you choose to walk with Jesus and serve him on the gospel road. Choose to sit at his feet and listen to him. Choose to be with his disciples as they serve him. I want to end with just a little personal story. I have some friends who have, I can't remember how many time, just flown off to Africa. Again, Adrian and Jacqueline took early retirement, rather Adrian took early retirement. Jacqueline had already stepped back while Tracy and I were at Surrey Chapel in Norwich, and they desired to serve the Lord somehow. They didn't know how. They came to the church and talked it through with their pastor. And Adrian had served with the police for many years and was entitled to quite a sizable pension with a large lump sum. And he ploughed that lump sum into retraining with Mission Aviation Fellowship as a flight controller. And for the last 10 years, he's served Mission Aviation Fellowship and is now what they call relief manager or relief flight director or relief flight operations director or something like that. And once or twice a year, when there's a missionary who's coming home on home service, on furlough, as we used to say, Adrian and Jacqueline saddle up and go out there and spend 3 months in some part of Africa. Now, they love that continent. They love the work. They love the service, but they love their family as well. They get the best of both worlds. They get to travel all over the place. And Adrian loves planes. He even occasionally gets to fly. But he loves his job because he's serving the Lord and he's helping other people to serve the Lord. And they are so blessed and they love it to bits. Maybe one day they've got Essex connections. I'll even try and get them down here and they can talk about the work and we can share with them and know that. Friends, it's better to sit at the feet of the Lord, to walk the gospel road, than it is to be distracted by so many other good things. It's better by far. I hope you'll walk the gospel road with us this way. This year, let's pray that we might.